Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology, our podcast for four astrologers, three astrologers tonight, talking to you about what's going on in the stars at the moment and hopefully giving you hints as to how to manage this time and place on Earth. Now, a little bit later on, we're going to take call-ins from people, and we'd like to give the number out now so that you can get ready to call us in with your questions. I am Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Ortley. I'm on New York City, too, and I'm on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. And the phone number for callers... Yeah, the phone number for callers, people who want to call in, 347-215-8881. Repeat, 347-215-8881. And when you call in, make sure to press 1 because it raises your hand. And so I see your hand raised and we'll call on you. So we'll do that. We'll answer the callers in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk about the week and what
yes,
a week it
and
is.
We also have an email from one of our listeners that we'd like to answer in a little bit as well. What a weekend that was astrologically. There was a grand square that involved 7 out of the 9 or 10 planets that we use. And as the full moon lunar eclipse on Saturday, the moon joined Pluto, opposed Sun and Mercury, and both of those square Saturn, although out of sign, and Uranus and Jupiter. So I've heard a lot of tension and frustration and technical difficulties coming up for people this weekend. Out here we had a series of amazing storms going through that dropped about a foot of rain, literally, on the south part of the state. This is not normal. So we have done a lot of flash flooding, and I see that turbulence, that wind turbulence. We have a hurricane growing in the Caribbean, that wind turbulence, of the feeling of being caught at the crossroads and pulled in all directions that I see in this astrological pattern. And that each one of those aspects, you know, Mercury squaring Uranus, the Sun squaring Jupiter, each one of those aspects has their own tension to it. But by itself, and I think that some of the patterns that got started last weekend continue to cook over the next few weeks while Mars moves into joining Saturn and setting the pattern off all over again. But with this grand square and Pluto so involved with the lunar eclipse, we saw a fair amount of elders die. Senator Byrd went into the hospital and died this morning. Ruth Ginsburg's husband died this weekend. And I heard of several other older people who had been waiting for a while. It wasn't a hard death. It was time, and they faded out. And I think we're going to see, I'm hearing of 3 relationships that also ended in that way. We often see that around in the lunar eclipse where there's sudden endings. But also just tension that needs to be worked through as the week goes along. So the aspects are pretty good today for, you know, working together to handle them. Mark, how did you see that grand square act out? What did you see?
I see it in a lot of ways like a prelude still, because we're moving into this big T square in the cardinal signs. Coming up really later in the summer and in the fall, and, you know, when it gets really tighter. And so we're on the way into it. We're sort of getting different ends of it at different times. And, you know, the piece of it that we got with this eclipse was the Pluto part of it, because Pluto conjunct the moon, and it was really the same degree. So they were very much conjunct. So it really heightened the Pluto part of, you know, this whole thing. Because the other two parts are the Saturn and the Uranus that form an opposition and both square Pluto. And they were, you know, a little bit, well, Uranus was pretty tight, but Saturn is still a little bit out of sign. So that was a looser part of that square that's still forming. So what we got to feel and pay attention to was really the Pluto end of it, and that really has to do with power and empowerment, our own sense of what where we have our power and how we use it. And it also has to do with transformations, which includes death, and any kind of transformations that are needed. And they're always, with Pluto, they're always deep and no going back to the way it was. You know, it's that kind of, not just change, not just trying out, but a real actual metamorphosis. So those are the themes that went with this. And I think people were looking at it, not so much catastrophically as you know, seeing that this is all part of why we're here individually and collectively, is to go through these kind of transformations. And so we're seeing, and I think there's kind of a sense of something more is coming. So that was my feeling.
Mm-hmm. And Anne, what about you?
Well, I think my feeling was it was, you know, the front end of the T-square, because we're going to be living with this energy for another month and a half, 2 months. And this was kind of the shot across the bow. And in the week before, too, when the sun went through it and set off the T-square as it kind of rang it, and then Mercury followed the sun and said, oh, wait, let me tell you. So I think the energy of, you know, we actually had Barack Obama get mad. You know, he lost his temper, quote-unquote. I don't know that that was an inappropriate response to the generals saying nasty things about him. And I think the energy of the summit, where he was like, okay, we're going to keep spending, and Germany and Europe were like, no, we're not. You know, so it's a very dissension-oriented energy, to my mind. It's everybody's kind of polarizing and picking a side. And what I've really noticed is the arguments that, there just seems to be a lot of, you know, like, no, I'm not, you can't make me do that. And working out of kind of the sometimes the lower form of the energy, but also sometimes just, you know, it's like, nope, I don't want to do that anymore. I think I'm going to move on, you know, in higher form. So I think it's, it's getting the vision of what's coming. And so I think it's kind of a pre-warning or a pre-sense of what's going to be, the energy we're going to be working with, the story we're going to be working with for the summer. And as the T-square tightens, what that then looks like. So I think that's the part I was paying attention to was, okay, so we've got Afghanistan in the mix. We've got certainly the leak in the oil well. We've got the whole, what are we going to do about Europe? You know, what's our approach to the dealing with the massive debt? Are we going to keep spending, or are we going to spend our way out of it? Or are we going to save our way out of it? You know, it's kind of opposing forces. And certainly the people I know that were having run-ins with people, it's like, well, were you Jupiter and Uranus? Were you saying, I want to stay, or I'm going to go, or if I don't get my own way, I'm going to leave, or I'm going to have a temper tantrum? Or were they Saturn and Virgo criticizing and saying, well, you know, you really need to do it my way, structure, or were they doing power dynamics and saying, and so I've been instructing my clients to name where they are in the, which of the three energies they are, and they can be different energies in different stories.
Right.
You know, they can be the Uranus in one story.
Different minutes.
And then to be the Saturn in the other. And as long as they're conscious about which one they are, then they know who they're playing, and they know, and they can identify the other role. And it gives the sense of not control, but at least an understanding, because it's a very difficult energy to control,
right.
But at least an understanding of, oh, okay, we're this is where we are on the roller coaster ride. And I think that's the part. It's like training people how to get used to it, because it's going to get tighter and stronger over the next few months. So we really need to get good at using this energy, you know, or comfortable with how it feels, so that we can work with it productively and not feel overwhelmed by it. And then the other part was the exhaustion of the Saturn-Neptune in conjunct, which thankfully has finished, so we shouldn't be quite as exhausted as we've been feeling. So that I'm going to be looking forward to instead of falling asleep at my desk. You know, I will actually get into my bed and fall asleep there. So it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all these change. That's what it's just. It's know it's change. It's coming. And, you know, make the best of it kind of thing.
And integrate. And one of the things that I see, I so agree. I liked your description of, you know which corner that you're playing on this grand square.
Mm-hmm,
Because we do tend to live it out.
Yes.
And we tend to say someone in the family plays Saturn, someone plays Pluto, someone plays Uranus, someone plays the Sun. But those really are all acting out inside of us.
Yes.
And we're trying to create that balance. And look, we see that in a healthy culture, we need a balance between the spending and the saving. We need it between the generous principle and the Jupiter expansion and the Saturn contraction. We need a balance between heart and mind, between what we grow, the Sun, and what is taken down, Pluto, so that we have the cycle that goes. And it is this balance, and it can feel very tense when we feel like we have to choose one or the other, or when we feel like one's going to win. But if we look at it more like a mandala, and we're trying to create balance between these four opposites, it takes four corners to make a square, to create that solidity. And if we can find a way of seeing these tensions in our life and realizing that, although in this situation we're playing, Pluto is being projected upon us, or we're being the one that, you know, has to set the ground rules. I remember one client I have who has teenagers at the moment and is furious that they keep putting her in the role of the nasty power tripper. So, yeah, you're just being told to play Pluto right now. They're projecting their Pluto upon you. And you have to, you know, hold that in the best possible way rather than deny that archetype.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were doing a tarot reading about this time, it would come out all major arcana. It's not small issues.
No, major issues around really old stuff.
Right.
Old stuff.
Happy, easy days, and nice, happy, easy moments mixed in this. So it's not, you know, it doesn't mean that nothing happens. But even those nice, happy, easy days, the old stuff and the deep stuff is the backdrop. It's not a minor time in life. We are dealing daily with era-changing events as the backdrop to our shopping excursion. They're always there. We always have to take them into consideration. So it is... something that I'd love to see us work with. And Mark, I'd like to ask you about what do you see in the year ahead, the week ahead, and how that relates to these transits, because the transits peaked last weekend of this particular pattern around the eclipse, but they're echoing all week long. And what do you see coming up?
Well, we have actually coming up, Uranus is going to station. And, you know, that signals more of this stuff. In a way, it backs out of the cardinal sign. I mean, it stations, it's still in 0 degrees Aries, and it'll station and get ready to go back into the end of Pisces. So it's kind of backing away from that square to Pluto. But they both know that it's coming back, and so do we. So we will have that sense, but there's a kind of lifting of the tension for a moment. There's a little reprieve as Uranus backs away. Of course, meantime, Saturn is moving forward into the cardinal sign of Libra. So Saturn is moving in and Uranus is moving out. But, you know, so we have this feeling that there's a reprieve, but we're going to still feel that T-square when it all lines up. And then we're between eclipses. So we've just had this lunar eclipse, and in 2 weeks we get a solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we're feeling that all this week and next as well.
Very interesting. And Anne, I'm going to ask you to comment towards the end of the hour. I'd like to probably get into our questions right now. Do we have anybody waiting online?
Nope. The number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881.
And I have a letter I'd like to read from the group of people here. I'm going to pull it up in a minute. And I want to just say that if you cannot be with us during the weekend when you're on, when we're doing this conversation here on Monday nights, not weekend, Monday nights, feel free to email us with your question, and we'll do our best to answer it online as we're about to answer this person's. And or do our best to do so, and you can download the podcast at any time. This question is from someone in a band who isn't really into astrology, but one of their clients is telling them how good we are and how important astrology is, and is giving him some good advice. This is from a man named Howard, whose birth is born September 12th. 1957 at 7:15 a.m. in Brooklyn. And he is a drummer in a band. And he has and in this band is, and here he is, one Virgo. There's another Virgo, always a little tricky. Born September 16th, 1963, although we have no more advice, who's the lead guitarist? And
1963 on that one, September
16th? 1963. And the lead guitarist, the whole band felt a little bad because the lead guitarist never got around to introducing the band when they performed, and recently was out sick with some colon health issues, and was out for 2 months while going through surgery. And the band started to get along really well without him. Now, while they were getting along well without him, then he came back, and they are feeling frustrated that he's now all of his control issues are back. And and this person who wrote us in, the drummer, is angry and frustrated, but has been with his band for 3 years and he wants to stay together. So how can he go about it? He said, how can you help my band talk to Colin? He is very controlling and we might break up the band because he won't let other people sing or induce us in the band. In other words, everybody else is feeling very unrespected. So what do you first see, Anne? I mean, it's a really interesting combination of charts.
Well, it is. It's Howard, right? He's an Aries moon, and he's got a stellium in Virgo. So he's got a lot of planets in the 12th house, where Saturn has been traveling through over the last couple of years. And so Howard is being reborn. And essentially, as Saturn went through those 12th house planets, he released his inability to speak. But, you know, when he was little or in his early time, his earlier parts of his life, he would have felt a little uncomfortable speaking. He's got Mercury retrograde. He's got Saturn in the third. So he doesn't necessarily speak so much as he plays music and he gets his passion out that way. And also Virgo is really sensitive to slights. They kind of pay attention. They count. They keep track. So Saturn's been going through Howard's 12th, and it's now finished. And he's going forward again, and Howard wants a place at the table. So this is one of those cases where he has to ask for it. He's got a moon in Aries. Moon in Aries is, if I don't like it the way it is, I'm going to leave. And that's certainly an option, but it sounds like he likes the band. He likes the people he's playing with. And over the last 3 years, since certainly the fall of 2008, he's gone through a number of experiences with this group, as the Saturn-Uranus square has been taking place, and it would be a shame to leave now when you're about to have some really cool stuff happen when Saturn and Uranus opposes each self one more time at the end of the month on the world axis in the sign of fame. So I would say, don't go being short-sighted. Open your mouth and say, okay, you know, while you were gone, by the way, it's kind of like the military families. You know, someone goes overseas and everybody goes along living their life, and then you come back and you think they're going to be the same way they were, and they're not. They've changed. You guys all grew up while he was gone, and you all became a little more of your own authority. So I would encourage you to pipe up and say what you want, and to not be afraid to ask for it, and maybe gather the gang together. And if we're looking at the T-square, you know, the Jupiter-Uranus says, maybe I should leave. But actually, you really want to stay, because you have Saturn in the first. And there's a part of you that I'm going to guess maybe became a little bit of the band leader while this guy was gone. And now you want your time to lead. And you're like, okay, so let's change the way this works. Let's have it be a little more fair. Now, that person who left, the way their chart interacts with Howard's is very interesting, too. So Howard has to learn to talk, and the person who left, what he does is he sits on Howard's sense of his value. His Saturn sits on Howard's value, his Venus in Libra. So Howard doesn't necessarily feel this guy values him. And he also has Venus-Pluto, so there's a little competition there, maybe sibling-ish kind of feeling. But it definitely, you know, there's a little stress in the place. And he's a Sag, so he kind of does whatever he wants to do, because he's a Sag moon, and says, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't know that he's necessarily even conscious of the fact that you guys might be feeling, or you at least, are feeling uncomfortable. So you need to pipe up, and you need to say what you want nicely, and then suggest, you know, you have a group meeting and everybody figure it out, because the Jupiter-Uranus, opposite the Saturn, and aspecting the Pluto, says, how are we going to work together in a triangle in a productive way going forward? So this is your opportunity, and you're having really good aspects. So I don't know that I would leave the group. I think I would try and work within it and learn to speak, where you didn't necessarily speak when you were little because it wasn't encouraged. And so you played your music, and you left. Those were your two choices. The universe is saying to you, grow up, come up with a new version. You're going to be fine. And the tension will build through August, and then it'll calm down. But you've really worked hard on this. I'd hate to see you walk away from it because you didn't say, you know, can we change this up? And this guy, while he is a bit of a control freak with the Venus-Pluto, you know, that's how he was raised. He was raised to control things. You were raised to not talk. So you kind of have to find a little place in the middle there to work it out. And there is a place. It's just understanding, what's the vision for both of you? What's the vision for the group? What's the vision for the band? Where do you want it to go? If you focus on that, that will help a lot. So that's my take on it.
And yeah, I agree. And Howard, I'm the same sun moon combination, and I know how easy it is to get defensive with this Aries moon and the Aries moon to the Virgo sun. Your Sun-Mars conjunction, also, you have Mercury-Sun-Mars. You grew up around a fairly critical mind. You have kept a lot. You have a loaded 12th house. You're used to keeping everything inside, and it comes out with that Mars charge. So you usually have to get really pissed off to speak up. And I'd like you to really challenge you to another way. You do have Venus in Libra opposed to your Moon in Aries. You do have the capacity to call people to a better vision, to speak from your Venus place, from your creative space, from your heart space, from being real, and call him and be a real leader, not a belligerent, not rebellious, but a real leader, to call him to a different place and suggest how much better it could work if they all work together. Mm-hmm. And that to get a real, to be that, everybody here needs to be respected, because respect is something he can understand. Then if he doesn't respond well, see if you can teach him first, because the role of teaching him is so much more empowered than rebelling from him, which makes him, the younger guy, act like the parent. You don't need that. So if you can take your power on, you both have gone through a hell of the last 2.5 years. Done a lot of hard work, and the chance for the success, you know, is just coming as Saturn gets across the ascendant,
mm-hmm.
and as Saturn leaves he has Moon, Uranus, Pluto, Sun, Venus all lined up in Virgo, all been conjunct by Saturn. He's taken on great responsibility. It's all hit his gut, You know, we could tell him to stop holding things so tightly, because holding things so tightly is literally making him sick. And we'll probably continue to make him sick unless he deals with that. If he can, you know, for him, I would say lots of acidophilus and trust. And he's got some, he really is feeling unloved at the moment with Saturn on his Venus, and it's very hard for him to love. And I think he's panicked, and I think he's holding on tighter rather than trusting and cooperating.
And also, you guys got along fine without him while he was gone, so he doesn't really know that he has a place.
Scared the crap out of him.
Yeah, scared him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so he needs to see that you want to be with him because he's so creative, that you believe in everybody being empowered and everybody doing, that you do better together than you do apart, which I think you do, and that he's a real musical perfectionist, and his whole level of music, he's, I think, astrologically similar to Brent Best of Slobberbone, if you need. He's astrologically such a perfectionist that he's really hard on himself, but he takes the music to a higher level. And you are more inspired and intense and driven and add intensity, Howard, but aren't always the perfectionist. So to work between the two of you, you add the intensity, and he takes it musically to a higher and higher level, because it's hard for him to ever imagine that he's good enough. So it can be a really synergistic combination. It's just, you know, Pluto has been through squaring his Mercury, Uranus, and Jupiter right now are opposing his Mercury. He doesn't quite know how to express himself outside the music either. But I want the two of you to all to see you're better together than apart. You all need respect. You all need encouragement. How can you do this together? And what the band needs from him to feel respected is to be introduced like he's proud of you, and to let all of you shine a little bit so that you don't have to leave him in order to be seen. And then all of you can grow together. But you have to be the leader and help him see a different way of doing it. Mark, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I think really what both of you are saying starts to add up pretty quickly in the same direction. We're using the word leader, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Howard is a Virgo leader, and Virgos don't like to be the ones that are charging right out front and getting into confrontations and all that. That's not the style of leading that Virgo does, but you have a very strong combination of things in Virgo. And you have the Aries moon, and, you know, that all works. And then really where you're going to develop good leadership is going to be through the Venus in Libra. And what you want to work with there is the power of attraction and realizing that, you know, you can lead people by pushing them, or you can lead them by attracting them. And with this chart, with so much Virgo energy, and then Venus in Libra, it's the attracting that'll work. So the way that you'll get the other musician to work with you is to kind of sneak up on him and show him that what you guys developed while he was gone is actually beneficial to the band, and it works for him the same way. He just doesn't have to be a boss. You know, just convince him that nobody needs a boss in this band, and that instead you all have what you need as a group. It's already there, and it's a lot more fun if you're all on the stage at the same time and have your names called out and the whole thing. So everybody's part of it, and in that sense, the band works better when you don't have a single point guy that's calling all the shots. And one of the ways you can do that is get some feedback and let him hear the feedback. Have people mention what worked, what they liked, what are the things that you guys did when he was gone or even when he was there that they feel really make the band strong. And most likely, that's going to be the things that let everybody shine. And he'll begin to hear that. So, you know, let that come through. And, you know, you, one of the things that holds you back, too, a little bit besides the Virgo thing of not wanting to be, you know, the out front leader, is the Neptune square Uranus. And that has you questioning things a lot and really, you know, wanting things to measure up to your ideals, but questioning whether they do. And there's a strong sense of idealism, but then it trades off with feeling that the ideals are never met. Built in with that, you have the trine from Uranus to Saturn that really helps you to make something of what it is that you see differently from others. And you're able to do that without confrontation. So look for the solutions in your own sort of intuitive sensibility, and then find a way to convey them to others. So it's a kind of a selling job. Rather than pushing, rather than demanding, rather than, you know, getting into confrontation, think of it as, how am I going to sell this? I see what we need. I see what works. It's my job to really sell it, you know, and you'll be able to do that.
And it's an exercise in patience.
Yeah.
Which I know the Moon and Aries isn't so fond of. But,
no, not at all.
I say sympathetically, but it is a great experience here.
Well, and you are having really good things coming, so I wouldn't bail on the group. I would stay and stick it out at least through the 12th of September. And if you're still being driven as crazy then maybe leave. But you've got some really good stuff coming. You don't want to be like the Beatle that left right before they got signed. So.
Right,
Not that we're going to bring up bad memories for the Beatles, but you know what I mean. Like, you want to kind of stay and reap the reward of all you've worked on over the summer, because you're about to have a really big payoff, and I would hate to see you miss it, because this guy's driving you crazy. He also has Leo planets, so one of the things he does need is a lot of praise. With that Pluto, the Venus and the Pluto in Leo, he needs praise. Otherwise, he's kind of badly behaved. So the fact that you guys all got along well without him is very troublesome to him. So you have to realize that he's kind of going, they may not really need me. And he's always afraid with that Pluto-Venus trine, that people are going to realize they don't need him and get rid of him. That's his big fear. So, you know, if you know that, then you can kind of work with him and not play him, but, you know, at least understand that his anxiety comes from not being needed, which is why he's disrespectful of all of you about your contributions to the group. He realizes, you know, what you're actually doing, and it makes him nervous. So if you can work with that in mind and kind of see him from the perspective that he sees himself from, is that who needs him, you know, that was where the what appears to be arrogance comes from. I think it's more an insecure place. So.
And you've said it well there, and there is a chance that he will not choose to take it to a higher level. He may be in too much fear mode about his health, or too controlling, or too damaged, and be kind of abusive. This is not an astrological factor. That's a personal choice made in response to the chart. No chart demands that people are bad or good. No chart demands that they can be, you know, all you can do is hold him, invite him to something better, hold him accountable for it, and not let him be abusive to the group. So if he cannot begin to be happy that you're happy and be glad that you're feeling good, and if he continues to try to undermine you so that you are dependent upon him, then it's not a constructive relationship. It's like the same pattern that you see in abusive marriages. But I wouldn't start there, because it feels like there's just so much tension and worry that that it's a long way to go before you can tell if he really is that way. If he just doesn't respond to training, if he continues to undermine others when all of you have done everything you can to reassure him about the big picture, call him to a better place, and tried to work with him, and he still doesn't respond, then it's time to not continue the relationship in this form. But I think he's got a good chance of being able to learn first.
Yeah.
So, do we have any other comments about him before we go on to anything else?
No, I think it's just knowing that, you know, part of what we talked about before was this is an example of the T-square. So you can be Jupiter-Uranus, which is you can be mad and leave, or positive side of Jupiter-Uranus turns around and says, okay, this needs a little bit of change here. Can we change it up and shift it and try some new stuff?
Mm-hmm.
The opposition to Saturn, this is my way to do it, and if I don't get my way, I'm not happy. You know, that energy, the positive way is let's come up with a constructive way to handle it. And then Pluto as the power. There's an external power source that's bigger than both of you. And the power in this case may be the other band members. It may be people that are interested in booking you. It can be whatever your agreement is about playing together or how that's set up. It's understanding that Pluto there says, okay, let's use the power for evolution or let's use the power to destroy the group. We can go either way. But, you know, we'd kind of like, because it has been fun and it has worked really well, it's time for us to try new things. So that's the other part. And there's also, you know, a coup. He's supposed to be a good king with the Venus-Pluto. Mm-hmm. If he's not a good king, we can have a coup d'etat and say, okay, you know, we're the gang. We're going to continue playing. You go find another band to sing with. That's also a possibility. So it's understanding that you're in this major time of turmoil and the universe is saying to you, you have to do the thing that's the hardest because that's where the growth point is. The easy thing to do is leave, in your case, because your moon in Aries can run. It's good at that. It's good at getting mad and taking a temper and taking off. So don't do that this time. Challenge yourself to try a new modality and see how it feels and see if it clears something really major in your being because you're doing something in a different way than you're used to. Because Saturn in Virgo says, you really like this group. You've just been spending all this time incubating with them. You're about to be born into the world in a brand new way. Why would I walk away from it? Why would I kill the baby? Don't. You know, try teaching the baby some new tricks. That's you too. Teach yourself some new tricks. Try and do things that are a little bit of a stretch for you, recognizing that they're going to make you uncomfortable, but that's okay. That means you're growing. I would say that I agree
with you, Anne, and that that's one of the pieces that I wanted to say, that the very things that he needs to exercise in this group to help get it to the next place are the things that he needs to exercise in all of his relationships.
Right.
That instead of either fighting or leaving, how can he can negotiate for his needs? And we could go back into his life about why it's so hard for him to negotiate for his needs, but his tendency is to either be belligerent or do it himself.
Right.
And you know, believing that he has a right to have his needs be met and negotiate for them in a peaceful and empowered way is new territory.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a place to really stretch yourself and to see what you can do and to try new things and to take some coaching from others if you can't get there from here. So,
and you did. You asked us to coach you, which is very good because Virgos don't usually do that.
Sure.
See, it wasn't so hard, was it? It was fun. You had a good time there.
And so do we have anybody on the phone line?
We have no callers. 21 minutes remaining and no callers. I don't know. There's like a weird little thing. Who knows? 347-215-8881. That's our phone number, so feel free to call if you have a question. I did have a comment or an observation from someone that they wrote in, and they said, that they found the show really helpful in many ways, but that they would like us to expand a bit on how to work with the eclipse energy because they felt very overwhelmed. And they weren't feeling like, you know, they understood all the T-square energy. They felt like it was really just too much, and they didn't know how to handle it when it got to be too much. And I thought, well, that's an interesting question. You know, because it is kind of a flying realm.
How did they feel? How did they experience the too muchness?
No, they just
because,
said they
again,
felt it was too much.
When you've got all these
yeah.
planets happening at once, is it their nervous system that's having, are they exhausted? In other words, some of it is listening to the problems involved.
Right.
And
yeah.
where it's hitting the person, because it will, a lot of the eclipse energy depends upon which planet in your chart is being most activated.
Right. But yeah, I think it was, you know, they did not give me chart information. But I noticed, you know, one of the things that struck me about the eclipse is, and also the upcoming T-square, is the energy shooting out into the Cancer house. So when energy shoots into the Cancer house, it's a very pre-verbal house for most of us. And it's a house that's very primal. It's got very basic needs to feel safe and nurtured and cared for and loved. And if it doesn't feel those things, it gets really anxious, like a little baby kind of overtired and crying. So I thought maybe we could talk about like how to comfort yourself when you're feeling overwhelmed as, you know, as part of this energy, because part of it is overwhelming. I know I took to my bed for a nice long snooze over the weekend because I thought, I'm just really tired and I need to go put my head under the covers and sleep. And it was really helpful because I woke up refreshed. And now for me, my moon's in Pisces, so I love the little snooze. And, you know, the other next best thing is a bath or a shower. So mm-hmm. I think that we have primal comfort issues with this energy shooting into Cancer. How do we comfort ourselves in the middle of a busy day, in the middle of our life, or when this stuff's going down and we're feeling overwhelmed? So I thought
that's
it was a good
thing to talk about with Cancer in general.
Yes.
Because as the sun goes through each sign, we are reminded of the work and the gift of that. And this is about our basic primal needs and also the basic primal caretaking we can give others. And, you know, when that lineup is in Cancer, it demand, you know, it usually calls us back. We see it yearly, we're called back to some time with our family of origin, our community of origin, to picnic, to grow food, to do family karma work. And I'm hearing old family patterns, people going back and dealing with old family patterns, whether their family is anywhere around or just the specter of old family patterns is up and running in their life. And to, you know, go back to that place of how do we parent ourselves and feel really parented by the earth and the sky. And I keep seeing the image of when you're caught at the crossroads, to hold still. It's a meditation of really not feeling, not letting us be pulled apart by these opposing energies, but really feeling the stillness underneath it. That underneath the waves, the ocean is still calm. And underneath the stillness, we know how to take care of ourselves. We forget when we're feeling anxious. But to go down, how do we be the best mother and father to ourselves we can? How do we take care of ourselves, not the way we were parented, but the way we would like to have been parented? And when caught up in the crosswinds, can we stop everything for a few minutes, slow down the higher the pressure gets, and drop into that place of nurturance and begin to fill up a bit and from that deal with all the other issues? But not get caught in the crossfire between fighting parents, fighting other people. If someone starts throwing a fit, which I'm seeing is that someone starts attacking, the Cancer gets very defensive and responds to the attack, but just feel the tension of the other people and not take it personally or feel like you have to fix it. But first take care of yourself and then be able to look at, see the patterns that they're being set off in others. I would say that's one of my coping skills for this time. Mark, what do you see?
What, one of your coping skills is what? To
just that to be able to learn to hold still and to drop into that meditative place.
Mm, yeah.
And how? What have you found to be helpful in this time?
Well, I think just tuning into what it is that needs to change, and allowing that to happen, welcoming it, because we are individually and collectively going through enormous changes. And, you know, it's changes of patterns and very deep patterns. And we resist those kind of changes because even if it's not working real well, at least we're familiar with it. And we are creatures of habit. And, you know, there's a tendency to say, well, keep it like it is for a little bit longer because it's still working for me, right? And we're seeing that the changes are appropriate and that things are going to change. And I think, you know, the sooner for each of us individually to catch on that the changes are coming, the better, because they are. They're coming. So that even like the healthcare thing that we've been going through for the past year, you know, a lot of people resisted. A lot of people are resisting even now, saying, you know, boy, I hope they get that, you know, not impeached, but what is that when you revoke a law or something?
Repealed, right.
Yeah, repealed. There's people who are still running around saying, let's get that thing repealed. So it's, you know, I feel bad for them because it's such a waste of energy, you know. There are changes that were overdue, and this is, you know, it's underway now. We're on our way to changing something. And some of the changes we'll like, some of them will benefit me more than you, but some of them will benefit you more than me. And why don't we just see what will overall bring benefits to us together and just welcome the change. So to me, that's the main thing in the times that we're in now. It's just find the change interesting. Don't try to make a judgment on it. And, you know, let it happen.
Yeah, I think that letting the short-term shifts, as we saw with the dying elders, you know, that it was time for, at 92, it was fine for Senator Byrd to leave. It was not too early in his life to do so, even though it was sad if he did. That there are a lot of things in our life that are ready to fall, like ripe fruit, that we don't see that they're ready to fall until they've fallen. So there, right now we may have to let go. If you just feel that the universe is asking you to let go of something, how do you take care of yourself while you let it go and know that the space is being created for something else rather than try to hold on to it, which is when it becomes painful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anne?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's, you know, I kind of am a Virgo, so I like a list of things. I always find if I go to the refrigerator and I'm in the mood to eat, if there's carrots in there, I'll eat them. If there's no carrots, then I'll eat something that's maybe, you know, a little less healthy. So I find for me a list of how do I divert myself or get myself into a new mode. And I, you know, that there's a few ways to do it. You can do it by focusing on, you know, the meditative changing your thoughts part, which is breathing, letting go of the situation, calming down, and daydreaming about a better time, or make a list of how you would mindfully worry, you know, like actually sit down and go, okay, let me worry about this mindfully and make a list of how I can fix it, and then, okay, put that away because I can't fix it. And then the other one is taking actions that give your body sensations to calm yourself. Back when we were little, you know, food was a comfort, but they also held us. They put us to sleep. They changed our diapers. They kind of did things that made us feel warm, connected, and related. So doing things with your physical body that calms it down, that makes your body feel good, whether it's taking a bath or getting a massage or, you know, dancing or doing something like that. And then I think the other thing is connecting with others that nurture you, you know, where you reach out to people and you say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a little low. Can I come over and clean your closet, you know, because I just really want to hang out with someone. Or can I come over and do something with you? Can we go maybe play cards or have food or, you know, just talk? And I think giving ourselves permission to go through and connect with people when you're feeling stressed, and literally, you know, just recognizing it is stressful energy. And so how do you take care of yourself? How do you make yourself feel better? What are the things that work for you? I know for me, making a cup of coffee with cinnamon in it and sitting kind of quietly and listening to Mozart, I go into a whole other place. And it's like, and I've been playing a lot of Mozart lately because it just makes me happy. Or putting Beyonce on and dancing with her, you know. It's like, what is it that nurtures you and makes you feel connected? And if you do that, then it can calm down some of the crazy energy that's flying around. So that's would be my suggestion to the person. But I thought it was a really great question. So thank you, Karen, for asking it. So she wanted our take. And I'm like, okay, we're very opinionated people. We can certainly do that. I think Heather fell off the line. Is that who disappeared?
Sounded like
somebody went. Yeah. So if you're still here, then it's got to be Heather that left. All right.
Must be.
And we have a caller. Okay, so let me pull up the caller. Okay, let's see the caller. Hello, 212. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. You have a question for us?
Yes, this is Sipora calling back again. I talked to you at the end of last week.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have a question for a friend. I have his permission to ask, and there are a lot of changes starting for him these days, and I wondered if you could speak to how the Cardinal Cross and so forth might be affecting his chart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call him. Oh, is that Heather?
That's Heather coming back.
Heather came back.
We're kind of like on, remember Bewitched when they used to disappear and Aunt Clara would go up the chimney and stuff? We kind of bing in and bing out.
I think that's the only way to travel.
I know, really, totally. So Heather binged in and binged out. She probably went to Seattle while we were gone there. Where'd you go, Heather? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's the birth date?
Okay, the birth date is August 15th, 1971.
Mm-hmm.
11:54 p.m. in Suffern, New York.
Okay. And so the question is, what's the T-square doing to them, or?
Yeah, I'll just tell you. Suddenly, maybe a month ago, he found out he needed to move.
Uh-huh.
And he's working for some family members. Like a few years ago, he really started working directly for them. He's been involved in a project with them for like over a decade. But there's some power struggles. I'm wondering, I have a definite idea of who's Pluto there.
Yeah. Pluto's the power struggle guy, yeah.
It seems like a time for him to be more assertive, and that's hard for him. I think he has Saturn in the first house.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He does.
He's sort of the self-deprecating kind, but like the whole passive-aggressive thing starts to happen, I think. Anyway, that whole, like what you see for him job-wise, he's felt like he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing in his life. And
is he working with a sibling, an older sibling?
Is that August 5th or August 6th? I got the rest of it.
August 15th.
1-5-1971.
1-5.
Yeah.
Okay. He's working really with the husband of an older sister.
A husband of an older sister, okay. But he's got, does he have other older siblings besides the sibling?
Yes.
Okay.
There are 13.
Okie dokie.
Middle of 13. Siblings.
That's a lot of siblings.
Or
right.
The middle of 14 total.
Okay. So, yeah, because Saturn and Gemini in the first house says sibling story. And so what often happens is his chart's going to, you know, Gemini's siblings, Saturn says restrict yourself by the siblings. And that's having a lot of developmental pressure right now. And so Saturn's trining it, saying he needs to, you know, we find the theme is similar. So the same way Howard needed to learn to talk, your friend needs to learn to talk too. And he was born on an eclipse, interestingly, with the Sun and Venus on the South Node. So part of his need or desire or wanting to be the king was not really permitted when he was little. So what he's really trying to do is to become the king himself. And it can be a little hard for him because he was also told not to talk. So he's actually in the process, similar to Howard, trying to overthrow the king. And it's okay. He needs to kind of say, you know, this is what we need to do and how we need to do it. And is the business the brother's, or did the brother kind of start working in the family business that was his family business already?
It's not like a family. It's sort of like the religion business, if you will.
The religion business, okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing is, like, who's in charge of the business?
It's this brother-in-law and sort of started this.
Yeah, okay. Heather, are you there?
Yep, I was just looking at that Mars in the 10th house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In Aquarius, it sounds like the religion business. It doesn't, this person hasn't even begun to individuate and find themselves.
And that's based on
and,
the chart, not
yeah,
like his personal.
Upon what, I'm sorry?
That's based upon just the chart or not his own sort of like personal failings or issues or something? That's like
when I look at the chart, is it and what I'm tuning into at the same time, when I look at it, he would have it. There's large personalities in this family,
mm-hmm.
and he has a large personality, but hasn't really begun to find who he is, not in relationship to them.
Right.
So he really hasn't walked into his own power and charm and charisma.
Do you know when that?
I would love to see him spend some time away from the family, and then come back and run the family business. That he has the capacity to be a real leader. And people do often take him, but like they think that they know who he is. They think they know that what he can do. I think he's more mature in many ways than he might actually be. That all of that can serve him in good stead when he's found himself. But it's a little hard for him to find what he wants around people who have strong ideas of what he should and should not do. So he moves into a more passive-aggressive mode instead of working for what he wants.
Right.
And there's always someone to blame or resist or work with. It's a little hard to give him advice except to keep asking him questions. What do you want and where, you know, what draws you? What drives you? What fascinates you? And give him the room to experiment rather than try to be successful. This has been a little hard because it feels like the economics of the situation and other family patterns have put security first,
yes.
not self-expression first, over the last couple of years. And he may have another year by looking at the progressed moon, where he needs to sort of play it safe rather than really find what he needs. And he may never choose to do this. But it looks to me like in a year, as the progressed moon moves on, in a year he begins to really search for his own truth in a new way.
Do you see anything about relationships?
And it feels like he's grown up the next level.
Do you see anything about what was the question?
Relationship issues. He's avoided in
he's
that.
Got Neptune, he's got Neptune, Jupiter in the seventh, so he either idealizes or tries to control. It's part of him not seeing who he is, because the Neptune opposite the Saturn, you know, it's a magnetic placement, but he doesn't necessarily see who he is as he does it. And also, whoever he's in relationship, he doesn't necessarily see them. So the angles, if he's still living in suffering in the New York City area, you know, it might help relationships if he moves somewhere other than where Saturn was on his ascendant and all the lights were in the fourth house. Because it's, you know, it's kind of like he's in the place where his light is hid under a barrel. So he has trouble expressing who he is. And then he's got the moon Pluto, so he's also very changeable. You know, depending on what you need, he'll change, but he doesn't necessarily know what he wants. So the question is, well, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What are you doing about it? How can you do this? That kind of question where he has to sit in himself and find a space can be helpful. Mark, do you have any comments? Because we got
and,
the...
You know, he really hasn't started a whole
We got the warning from the British lady. What, Mark? Yeah?
All right. I would suggest an experiment for him that it would have to be a short-term experiment, not to be taken seriously. But and I wouldn't usually suggest this, but he should sit down and make a list and divide the world into two kinds of people. One kind is the people who actually listen to him and would like to know what he thinks, and the other side of the. You know, the other list is all the people who don't really listen to him and don't really think he has much to say. And he should then pay real close attention to the first group and stick with that and see what he can offer them and what they can offer him.
Mm.
Now, that won't carry him through the rest of it. Might bring a breakthrough for
now. Okay, we're going to say goodbye. This is Access Astrology, Heather from New Mexico. You can find we can find all of our advice on the Access Astrology page and Blog Talk Radio, where all of our websites are. We have signing off, Heather, and we have Mark.
Mark
signing off.
Mark and Ann, my bright red desk in New York City with my cat sitting here purring away. Have a great week, folks. Remember, we're still in eclipse, okay? So breathe. Heather, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye from Minnesota, and love to you all. Again, you can email us or call us in next week. We look forward to hearing from you.
And have a good 4th of July holiday.
Take care of yourself this week.
Okay,
bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Wonderful, sparky holiday.